Because you will want this thing to give what no thing can give. Because things must have life given to them. And only you and God can give life. So if you have this treasure and you want to wear it about your neck, or you want to build or have an altar, yes, to Sathya Sai Baba, don't make it a worshipful altar. Baba, I love you, sir, and I really think you've given me great wisdom. I know you have it. You've given me this vibhuti. You've given me this object. Tell me, sir, what is its value? Its value, son, is that when you touch it or you look at it, you think of me and you remember what I told you in wisdom about our source, our creator, and our value. And it becomes the memory jogger, just like a key on a computer. Every time you should touch that key, it should remind you to be a little bit better. Because it connects you with God. And God is always watching. And most of us will not be watching unless we're called. Including the Sathya Sai Babas of the world. Do you think Baba running around in India needs to be attending your bathroom needs? You lower God instead of raising self. Does that mean that a human being is going to not have bathroom needs? Perish the thought. You're called sick if a human being fits in that category. Well, aren't there masters that have mastered these things? Of course. But the human being either must change its very basic structure, or it is going to have to adhere to the human element of existence. Don't confuse the two. And don't withdraw from human thinking that I'm going to learn to ascend and be perfection in this vapor world. You'll get to be vapor soon enough. Why can you not accept what you agreed to do in the environment you agreed to perfect self? Why would you be a human in the most incredible experience of all consciousness to try to live over there where you plan to get out of that state to live the experience? And once again, we always come back to something that some of you now understand better than you did 10 years ago, but you still shake your head and say, I cannot really comprehend it, although I know what you're saying. This is the illusion. Your soul is the reality. There is no time. There is no space. Everything has been done. You are experiencing your play. And some of you will say, well, I certainly would like to experience it with a little more abundance, sir. It always gets down to abundance, doesn't it? And always abundance is only your perception of what is abundance. Well, everybody in here, because we have to meet bills and so forth, will say, well, we need a little more abundant money. That'll do. Well, let's classify it. Let's classify it for what it is, because money, gold, all of these things that you could consider necessary commodities for exchange value is only important to the extent you do not have it, but either need or want it. And if something else filled the bill, you take it. Because it would now be the valuable item. So all things only have value as placed upon them by conscious mind. And therefore, you have no ability to value in this other world without conscious input. So what you're really wanting to do and say is to have it all, be able to be creator with creator. Same statement, very valid. Creator with creator. But you want your physical human consciousness to recognize it, to experience it. And there's where you bog down. Because one is not the other. And yet you can, on a higher plane of experience, experience the consciousness of being in higher existence. And you can know. Without a doubt, you can know. But you cannot see it at the same time that you know it, except in the vision of the mind. And in the mind can be that vision which is truth. And it's fleeting. In your realm of existence or expression or manifestation, it is really very, very difficult to live in a state of consciousness of that perfection. And when you have your master teachers and they're teaching you this, and you're being envious of them, and God says, thou shalt not covet, but you are being envious of their ability to have discerned while you're still groping. But that's what a teacher is about. That's what a student is about. That's why you're back. If you were the teacher in all of this understanding and comprehension, you would not have to be experiencing again to fill in these voids. And that's what God is about. And you're not going to find the churches who control great masses of people. We're all going to come at 8:30 a.m. in this time zone, and we're going to put down our prayer rug, and we're going to face east. That's religion. That's ritual. And it's powerful. It is powerful because if you can get all of those masses to literally be chanting something, and oh my goodness, if you could get them to be thinking the same thing. But you see, when you're sitting there, Hail Mary, Mother of God, Hail Mary, Mother of Grace, whatever, and you're putting it, pretty soon you're mesmerized. That's called in a trance. You are hypnotized and you don't remember whether you've done 19 or 20, and you got to count the beads. Because you were told, and to do this particular ritual, you must do 19 of them. Not 18 and not 20, 19. Well, you're going to sit there and do this while you think about supper, or your knitting, or your children. A good secretary who takes shorthand will usually go in when the boss says, I need to give you some letters. She's going to sit there, and she's going to put down every word he says in shorthand while she plans supper. What time are the guests coming? What kind of dessert should I have? I wonder if I remembered, or, oh, I didn't take this out of the freezer. And she will not miss a word. But she cannot think of two things at once. So when you think that you can, you're incorrect. You're going to think of one or the other. And you may do it so rapidly that you cannot tell what you're doing. But only one flag of consciousness is going to be waving. And you have put the other onto automatic. That is called being human. Can some of the masters override that? Of course. Because all information is available. And just like some people can write with two hands at the same time, you want to call those freaks. They are exceptional. But no, they may not be exceptional in any way except they can write with two hands at the same time. And because you come along and you are trained, you're going to probably be whatever your parents were. And most of the time, it's going to be a bigot developed. Well, sir, how can you say that? I would never, my parents were never bigots. What do you mean by bigot? Well, I like the black people, and I like the Asians, and I like the Hispanics, and I even like the white people next door. I said bigot. That's prejudice. But more importantly, you're going to break your religions down. And you're going to have wars over them. Muslims and Muslims. And Islam. Well, what about Buddha? And what about Confucius? And what about the other teachers? What about them? What about them? They were what they were. And most of those really learned teachers tried to teach you a Christ attitude. That's called being Christ-ed in consciousness. An ongoing, ever-growing, ever-moving desire to become more and more perfect in your goodness. Intentionally, to where there is never an intentional bad move against anybody. You know, well, I'll just take the dime out of the AT&T slot machine. Who cares about the dime in the AT&T slot machine? Take it, because somebody else will. But is that perfection of intent? And once again, who cares? Only self. Only self. You cannot simply murder in the morning and then get absolution from the priest in the afternoon. It may do the priest a lot of good. It won't help the dead person. And you will have thought you've gotten away with something. Murder's wrong. So if you've murdered somebody in the morning, it's wrong. Call it what it is, face the consequences, and don't dump it on the priest, who is now going to destroy his own soul, giving you absolution because you said, oh, I'm sorry. You always want your children to say to the one, Junior just walked over there and bopped Susie. Now tell her you're sorry. Sure he's sorry. He bopped her in the first place because he wasn't sorry. Why do we lie and teach our children to lie? And why do we cop out letting somebody else take the blame? And how can we conjure such hate that we will set up our brother if we have to lie, cheat, and steal to do it? For what purpose? Is this to hide our own infirmities? To get away with something? A revenge that is eating us to death. So no matter how you feel about a given set of circumstances, when you are wrongfully assaulted, remember something. It cannot hurt you. It may take a long time, but that cycle will make its full circle, and it will eat alive the assaulter. And always learn from these lessons. Always learn from these lessons. You do not have to become that enemy to win the round. And it may appear you lose and lose and lose, and yet for all the world to see, the evil conspiracy sticks out like flames above it all. And sometimes you have to be patient enough to let it work its whole magnificent way. And then still you may perceive that, well, I'm no better off. I mean, they haven't put me on a big marble pedestal and recognized my value and my worth and my purity and my sanctity. You just fell off your pedestal when you think those things. When you have had to be the center of attention, whether you like it or not, and you hate it, let me tell you something. When you work all the way around that circle so that you no longer have to worry about that, isn't that in itself success? When they leave you alone to do your work, isn't that success? That is success. What you thought, what you planned, your perception of even why you are in this room, or whether or not there is a higher invisible energy, or whether it's a human, what difference does it make to you? What Doris thinks about it is her problem. What DJ thinks about it is his problem. Each one of you is going to have your own perception, your own idea. Why did you want to even be here? Why did you want to waste an afternoon? It's important only to self. Because you didn't have to get tickets or reserve seats, such as they are. Does everybody get what I'm trying to say to you? Each of you comes with a perception. And each of you might even ask when you come, well, why do you think we're here, sir? It's still only my perception, and I can tell you and tell you and tell you and tell you. But until you see it or change your perception, it won't mean anything to you. And I'm not a UFO Trekkie. You can identify my ship, so you don't even use the right words. God is an extraterrestrial because you won't let him live with you. And even at that, you can't bury his feet in the earth, although a lot of you can bury your head in the sand. And these sects, these congregations, these churches who say, we're all going to commit suicide, have just broken all of God's commandments. Even in the planning of such an atrocious thought, you have broken God's commandments. And should your neighbor pay for it? Should the landlord pay the price extracted from him because you did it in his house? That's wrong. That's evil. And no amount of sanctifying it by a priest or a preacher or a Jimmy Baker is going to make a whit of difference. It's wrong. Murder is wrong. Killing is wrong. Whether it be self, an unborn child, that's murder. That's murder. And murder of self. Give it a pretty name like suicide. It's still murder of self. With intent of soul to do in self. Is it wrong? Aha. Who is going to judge that? Are you going to judge that man for killing himself? You better not. That's between that man and God. But you know, if it flops over onto someone else's property or life, it's wrong. Because you have damaged someone else. And maybe it's a little child who up until the moment of your experience believed one thing only now to witness another called terror. That's wrong. And to bring wrong against innocent children is a pretty dastardly load of burden. Because you have then aided and abetted the downfall of a second being other than yourself. So when you get and suck into your little inner circle your friends to conspire, you're each contributing, but the one who sets the master plan and sucks you in is going to pay the largest price. Because guess what? At some point, you are going to turn against that master planner and eat his lunch. And already, even our own little enemies, who's so proud of themselves, they cannot keep their mouths shut. They prattle, they tattle, they brag. Boy, do we have them now. And they tell on themselves. And who is responsible? Each one. So God is about you. One. You. And each of you perceives you are a separate entity. You're going to end up finding you're only one, period. But whatever fragment you may be, there is only one thing for you to do, and that's clean up your own act. And you don't have to worry about anybody else's. Because if you clean up yours, and they clean up theirs, it's all going to work out fine. And if you're just busy working on yours, you're not even looking over here to see what they're doing with theirs. So it's easy to forgive. But don't you ever make the mistake of forgetting. Else all the lessons you've learned are tossed out. Oh, forgive and forget. Why do you think you're back struggling again? Because you forgot. Has nothing to do with forgiveness. It's because you forgot. Now you've got to remember, and you've got to change that perception, because that's all there is in the world. There's no reality. So if you change your perception of what you see out here, it's all going to work out fine anyway, because at some point, the collective consciousness moves to this better way. But somebody has to step out there and say, well, hey, here is possibly a better way. It doesn't mean I'm going to get my cat of nine tails and I'm going to whip you and make you go over here and experience this better way. Because no matter what you experience there, you're not going to like it. So once asked me, how could you be so cruel one day as to say if we get 144,000 as a profit, say, will it be wonderful? Oh, my goodness, yes. It would be wonderful because I don't expect that many. And in perfection, there will be fewer. Because on the earth, there is no perfection. Because short of God, there is not perfection. And therefore, we would just have 144,000 imperfect entities. But it's a good start. Because we perceive things to be important that are not important. They are happenings, and they may have some magnitude of value or non-value. Just like that nice, lovely sound you're hearing. Is it good or bad? Until you know it's neither, or until the bomb strikes, it's neither. Your brain can tell you, well, it's probably a helicopter. I hope it's, well, should we all run out there and look and see if it's black or red? Or shall we just consciously ask it to go away? It's annoying. Because everybody has to stop and think about it. But that's what life is. That woke her up. Now that everyone's awake, I feel very often like that terrible wet blanket that comes down and whacks you first and then spreads across everybody. Well, now I blasted religion, and I suppose Protestants are better or worse than Catholics. Nothing is better or worse. It's either right or wrong, correct or incorrect, and all varying degrees of everything in between, because they are human perceptions. And isn't it nice that truly, in all of the other things you have to worry about, you don't have to worry about that. You only have to worry about good and evil. Evil simply being that which turns and opposes God. And goodness, that which you assume the lighted, creative Father to represent. And as long as you are working and trying to be better, God is forgiveness. And sometimes you injure someone, and it's nice if they forgive you for that. But you forgive yourself. God already forgave you. So all of the rest is relatively unimportant. Because what somebody else thinks of you is none of your business. If you wronged them, you must try to make it right. And when you have done that, you can do no more. And they are left to their own perceptions about the encounter. Will God just provide a place for you because you've decided that's where you'd like to be? Absolutely no. You will provide a place for you. Or you won't have a place. Do you understand? These are the perceptions that you must bring into the reality of your experience. Nobody else owes you that. And nobody has a right to drag you in here. And if that happens, you deserve whatever you get on the way home in the form of a tongue lashing. There is so much going on in your world right now. And I just pick up a whole flurry of, but what is today? This is the 20th? And Soltec and Corton said the whole West Coast was going to go before the end of this month? How many days do we have? Do we have 30, 31 days in this month? Let's figure it out. Well, I think that Corton and Soltec wish they hadn't been so narrow in their projections. But you have to understand that teachers are working from what they have to work with at the moment. And what difference does it make if you're prepared? You can't ask Ed Young or Nori or Rick or Dorma, well, do you think I should move to Tehachapi today? Well, what do they know? What do they know? Certainly no more than you. And this is undoubtedly the last place you'd want to come, because all they've got to do, if everybody who considered themselves ground crew was to come over here to Tehachapi, one little bomb would do it. Just one little bitty bomb would get rid of the ground crew, all wiped out. So in every lesson, there must be discernment. And if you are prepared in doing that which you know you are to do, you're fine. And it doesn't matter if you're sitting out on Catalina Island or Long Beach or Bear Mountain up here. Doesn't matter. You'll be in the right place. And if you have it right with God, no matter whether you die dead, ascend, float, or sink, it'll be the right thing. You guys are always trying to cover all your human bases. You want abundance like you can't even carry. And certainly if you were caught in the deep end of the swimming pool with your tons of gold, you'd sink and drown. But you got to have that physical thing you don't even like. You're always trying to make it bigger, smaller, unwrinkled, put acid on it to, you know, do away with these. Certainly, you're not satisfied with it, but God help us all to survive if you can't take it with you. This is called reason. God gave you the gift of that. He gave you the gift of thought, choice, and reason. You can reason very carefully everything you do, that you might act in wisdom according to the very best of circumstances in your reasoning mind to arrive at a choice. And your whole world is made up of deliberate distractions so that you won't notice what else is going on. You don't hear anything about the Oklahoma bombing, not even the trials. You hear about a dress designer or a suit designer who has no importance whatsoever of any kind anywhere on this globe, and I talk of importance. Well, everybody forgets to notice anything important. And I asked so that we might be able to have another meeting someday, that we meet today. Our friends, the Clays, have some very, very fascinating tape on Oklahoma City. And I've asked that Rick bring that so that you could watch it. You have to go back to some of the important things. You cannot afford to ignore everything. Absolutely, you may not ignore everything that is ongoing. You're going to have to mentally separate that which is terribly important to you versus that which is not so important to you, and let the distractions take care of themselves. And by the absolute lack of the government hanging in there on a given thing, let you know it is a distractor. And you're going to have more of whitewater. And you're going to have more of trying to bring down the presidency. What in the soup difference does it make anymore? You don't want anarchy, because that is the worst state of political affairs that a nation can try to get across. You have no orderly law You've come so far from the Constitution. You have nothing orderly with which to replace this terrible octopus. Anarchy is not your answer. Financial and economic and structural collapse is not your answer. And it doesn't matter if the big one along the San Andreas comes before the end of July or not, because there will be a second one and a third one, and the entire topography of your nation will be unrecognizable. Well, do we know it's going to split to the last inch over here by Mojave? No, you don't. No, you do not know. And you don't know the time of the coming of your God. And He's told you that for the generations and eons up until this moment. So why would you be allowed to know the moment unless you're the detonator of the bomb that blows it off, the San Andreas fault? But I can tell you a lot of factual things about it. And we, outside this particular distraction, are already at work on them. How to clean up the water supply. How to bypass the grid so that you on this side of that San Andreas might get power back within a few days. We are going to work on acquiring some of these alternative fossil fueled systems. As deregulations come, we must acquire some of these old fossil fuel generating systems so that we have a reason to come in with clean energy. But you don't want the distribution system, do you? Well, they don't want you to have it either. Well, you don't want it for several reasons. But the major one is from the east side of the fault to the west side of the fault, it's all going to fall down. And somebody with that metering system and that greedy distribution system is going to have to figure out how to get power back to everybody. And then what are you going to do about the water supply? Haven't any of you noticed these big pipes running across your mountains back and forth? That's a water supply. Or how about the open viaducts? Or how about Isabella? How about Lake Hughes, which sits right in the fault? It was very convenient. It was low and it was, let's just let the lake be here. Let's let this reservoir of water for L.A. be right here. So all the fish are asked to do is open the big swooshing vacuum sound you hear. The sucking sound is the sizzling on the hot lava, you know. But this is your world. This is fear I'm dishing out to you. No, what I am dishing out to you is respect. Because thumbing your nose at it will not help you. And when those massive gas lines like this are offset by some 18 to 28 feet, they're going to snap. And that's just going to dump all that natural gas right down into all the low places. One spark. And I think you will admit that in like San Bernardino County and San Bernardino City, there are a lot of sparks already going from every hot water heater. In that valley. Gas burns. Gas explodes. And if you can avoid those two things, explosion and burn, you now have no heating or cooking fuel. You've got to first shut off the gas flow. So, in a relatively small earthquake to the west coast, and I talk about the water area, you know you're going to have these three items damaged. The delivery systems of the three basic circulatory needs of life: water, electricity, and fuel. And if you think that those are really being considered and an emergency plan is underway and structured, call your utility company and ask them, what are they going to do when all three of these items are off? And see what they tell you is their master plan. So while the world goes on with its distractors and its litigation, we have to be working on possibilities of reattachment of at least the windmills to a grid with a transforming mechanism in between you and it, because you can't use the power coming off those windmills. You've got to have giant transformers. You've got to close down and clamp off the grid and bypass. You're going to have contamination of the water supply no matter what happens, because in great and massive earth upheaval, you contaminate or pollute the water, period. When you have flooding, you pollute the water. In any of these flooding circumstances, these hurricanes, anything that floods, you have massive problems and fear of contaminated water.